chapter 28. We find our Lord and Savior, we make reference to this as the Great Commission. And we find here in verse 18 beginning, Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." We find here that Jesus is urging His disciples. These disciples have been with Him for about 3 years. They've learned from Him. They've studied Him. They've saw His example and His teachings. And now it is time for them, they themselves, to be sent out to go. I want us to focus today in our lesson on that one word found there in verse 19, the word go. Whenever we think about this, the word go means to pursue the journey on which one has been entered into. I want to look at some examples, if you will. When we go back to Genesis chapter 1, we find God created all things. And I know in our Bible classes, I teach preschool on Wednesday nights. And, of course, most of the children in that class are my grandchildren. But it's definitely an interesting thing that I teach preschool on Wednesday night, teach adults on Sunday. So it's a big transition. But it's so encouraging because all of the preschool class knows what Genesis 1:1 says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And they just say, all I got to do is just say, what does Genesis 1:1 say? And every one of them recite it for themselves. But here we find God created all things. He created man. And what we find there in verse 28, that it says, God blessed man, blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Here God is, you could say, is telling them to go out. I've created this wonderful place for you, and now it is up to you to go out. What were they to do? They were to be fruitful. They were to multiply. One of the things that I look at there when it says fill the earth, some may say, well, God is telling them to, you know, reproduce, create more, and fill the earth. I also want to think on this point too, filling the earth with God and His Word, giving the example to others. And the reason I say that is because we find as the generations go through from Adam and Eve, we fight, go on over, if you will, to Genesis chapter 9. And notice in verse 1, we find here that God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, now notice here once again, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. See, God has already given the explanation there to multiply. So we need to look at that thought there about filling the earth. One of the important thoughts that God is given to all is He wants His Word spread. Going back over to Matthew 28. Go and teach all nations. Teach them what? The gospel. The good news, the glad tidings. We find again, going through the generations of time in Genesis chapter 17, and notice verses 6 and 7 of that passage. And here God makes a promise to Abram. And He says, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you. Kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Once again, the promises to Abraham of a great nation that would come from him and his descendants. We go on over and continuing on with the generations from Adam And we find going over to chapter 26 and verse 24, we find there again with Isaac. And the Lord appeared to him, and he said the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. He says, do not fear, for he says, I am with you, and I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. Once again, we see this fulfillment of God's righteousness. Going further on over, and we'll get into some thoughts here in a little bit, but I want us to cover these passages. In Genesis 35 and verse 11 there, and here again we find here that God is speaking unto Jacob, another descendant through the timeline. And it says in verse 11, also God said to him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply, a nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. And then we find in Genesis 47 and verse 27, we find there where he says, Israel grew and multiplied exceedingly. Now through all of these generations, one of the things that God instilled in all of those generations from the beginning of time up through was the teaching of His Word, filling the earth with God's Word. How is that accomplished? It is through us, through the vessels that we are to spread that gospel. We, like the disciples in Matthew 28, are to go and to spread that gospel. God's desire is for us to go. And to go, and notice here how I put it, without hesitation, without any doubt, without any excuse. We are to go as God has commanded. A good example, and I think probably one of the best examples we can find, is that of Abraham. When we look at Genesis chapter 12 and verses 1 through 5, we find there, and if you turn back over to that passage, you will find there, of a man who was very wealthy in his time period, maybe one of the wealthiest in that region. And yet we find that he had many herds, many livestock, had great amount of land, possessions. And yet we find in verse 1 that the Lord said to him, go out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. As we proceed further, we see there that it says in verse 4, Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now you just think about that for a moment. This man is 75 years old. I'm 63, and sometimes I come up with a lot of excuses for not doing things that need to be done, and I place age on that excuse. Abraham could have made some excuses here. I'm just too old to travel. He could have also thought of the idea of, well, you know, I'm well planted here. I'm satisfied. Why would I want to move from this place? There could be doubt in his mind as to, well, you're wanting to send me where? Not knowing where I'm going? But see, we don't see that in Abraham, do we? What we see here is that God gave him an instruction to go, and it says Abraham departed, just as God had commanded him. In Genesis 22, we find another example of the faith of Abraham in God's instructions. In chapter 22, turning on over there to that passage, and you will find that there's a test of his faith here when he has been given his son Isaac as a blessing, recognizing that God made a promise that through thy seed all nations would be blessed, that being through the seed of Isaac. And yet God comes to him here in a particular instance, and he says there in verse 2, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on the one on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Well, that would be a very difficult thing. It's a very hard loss to lose one child. My wife and I had 7 children and we've lost one. It was a difficult time for us. But here God instructed Abraham to take this only son that he had and to offer him as a sacrifice. Does Abraham doubt the faith of God? Does Abraham make any excuses? Is there any hesitation in what God has instructed him in for him to proceed further? Well, what we see in verse 3 is that it says, Abraham rose early in the morning, the very next morning. He rose early, saddled his donkey, took 2 of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, rose and went to the place where God had told him. No hesitation. No doubt that we can read of whatsoever. No excuses made. We find here in verse 5, it says, Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. And a key point here. And we, notice there, we will come back to you. Now for some we might read that and kind of overlook it. But it's a key point here in the faith of Abraham. Recognizing that if his son were to die in that offering that he was about to offer unto God, that God would raise him back up. That he and his son would come back down from that mountain together. So Abraham took the wood and he took the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. Now Isaac, very knowledgeable young man obviously, notices the things, the implements that they're carrying up into the mountain, but there's one thing that Isaac recognizes, there's no offering. We got everything to do this sacrifice, Dad, but there's one thing missing. Where's the sacrifice? Abraham says, God will supply. Once again, demonstrating the faith of Abraham and him proceeding on and following the command of God to go without hesitation. It came to the place of which God had told him in verse 9. It says, Abraham built an altar there, placed the wood in the order, and he bound Isaac his son. Obviously, Isaac realized then that he was the sacrifice. Laid him on the altar. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son without hesitation. No doubt in his mind that he and his son would come down out of that mountain. In verse 11, by his demonstration of his full faithfulness and confidence in God, it says, the angel of the Lord called to him from the heavens and said, Abraham, Abraham, here am I. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son. Now this is a good example to each and every one of us. Let us not hesitate in going and doing what God has commanded us to do. Don't come up with excuses for why I can't do what God has expected of me. And have no doubt of the power of God and His strength. I want us to continue to notice, though, that going saves souls. This is the whole point in everything, is that of saving souls from eternal destruction. What is the need to go? To bring others to Christ. What is the need to go? To assist others in doing what someone has assisted myself in doing to save my soul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we find there Paul's admonition. And it's a good example to each and every one of us, because what we see here is the true compassion that Paul had for others. In our class this morning, we were discussing the idea of having this kind of compassion. True, earnest compassion for someone else. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 19, notice here, Paul says, "For though I am free from all men," in other words, I have no real responsibility to anybody, but he says, "I have made myself a servant to everyone that I might win the more." You know, a lot of times we can look around and we can say, "Well, you know, I'm not responsible for that person. I'm not responsible for the actions that they're." And you're right. We're not responsible for that. But we are responsible for their souls. We have a responsibility that if we see an erring member, one that has fallen, that we're there to pick them up. Galatians 6 makes that very clear. We are responsible for the alien sinners all around. Reminding ourselves constantly that I once was an alien sinner. Reminding myself that I also am capable of falling. And keeping myself in touch with the reality that this does happen. And having that compassion for those around me. Here Paul says, he says, "To the Jews I became as a Jew that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without the law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win them. I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some." Getting in touch with those around us. Recognizing their weaknesses and noticing and keeping in line with God's Word and recognizing them and trying to assist them and help them. And through their weaknesses we can win them over to Christ. We find in Mark 16, 15 and 16 there, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." There's our command. We have people, and I say it all the time, we come in contact with people every day of our lives. The store clerk, the school teacher, fellow students, the neighbor across the fence. Anyone and everyone that we come in contact, they are our neighbors. They are the ones that we are responsible for. Are we going? Are we presenting the gospel? So that, as verse 16 says, that they might believe and obey and be saved. "For he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." If we truly have compassion for one another and other souls, we would not want to see them go through eternal destruction. But it requires faith and obedience in order for each and every one of us to be saved. Acts 8 and verse 4, we find here under great persecution, we find here the early church. They went through all kinds of trials that none of us will ever face. But yet they went through it. And we find there that when they were scattered, it says they didn't just go and hide themselves. They didn't just come up with excuses. "Well, if I go out and I teach someone else, I myself might be killed or put in prison." No, it says there that when they were scattered abroad, they went everywhere preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They weren't in fear of harm, physical harm of themselves. They were more concerned with the command that God gave to go. In Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 21, and again there you read that and you'll see, they were scattered everywhere. But yet it says they were preaching the word. They were doing what God had commanded them to do. One of the things, and I just close with this, we need to ask ourselves these things. Just how important is it to me? When I see a brother or sister that is in a weakened condition spiritually, how important is it to me to go to that brother and sister, to help them, to assist them, to bring them back to Christ? It's obvious and it's very aware that we all live in a very wicked world. So how important is it to me that I try to bring as many out of that wickedness that I can? It's not just an option. It's an obligation. It's a responsibility. When I obeyed the gospel, I made a commitment to God to do as He has commanded. And one of those commandments is to go. Teach His word. Fill the word, the world, with His will. You know, we can look at ourselves and we can have doubt in our minds. Well, you know, the numbers are dwindling in the congregations. Yes, they are. But why is that? It might be because we're not doing enough going. And we're giving in to the pressures of the world. Let us not be fearful. Let us not be scared. Let us have no doubts in our minds that if we continue to do as God has commanded, God will give us the power. Let us be like the Israelites, recognizing Joshua and Caleb. When they went into battle, and that's what we are doing, we're going into a warfare in the world. Let us be like Joshua and Caleb and recognize that, yeah, we're few in number, but we've got God on our side. And with God on our side, we can accomplish anything. We can overcome all the obstacles. Because God will give us the strength. You're about to begin a vacation Bible school here tomorrow. This is a perfect opportunity to go, invite, bring in from the community, from your workplace, for young and old alike, to learn more about God's will. Make it a very profitable, not just for the congregation here and the members here, but for others in the area, that they can learn about God and to glean from the blessings and the things that God offers unto us, the security and the safety being in His arms. This is what we need to share with all those around us. Let us go. If you're here today and you've never obeyed the gospel, the water and clothing is prepared. You can be baptized into Christ Jesus today to begin your journey under the instructions and command of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If there are those of us here today that have obeyed the gospel but have fallen back, may we become weak in some way. We've had some doubts in our minds or we've hesitated to do some things that we really should be doing. Let us have the courage to get back on track. Get our relationship renewed with God once again so that we can be strong and confident in our walk of faith. Whatever it is that you need, we hope and pray you'll have that desire to come forward today as we together stand and sing the invitation song.